Lexus Bible. What kind of man was Boaz before he married? Ruthless. What do you call pastors in Germany? German shepherds. And this is a little Johnny joke. A Sunday school teacher was teaching her class on how God made everything, including human beings. Little Johnny was particularly interested in how God made Eve from Adam's rib. Later that week, Johnny's mom found him lying in the bed looking ill and asked, "What's the matter?" Johnny replied, "I have a pain in my side. I think I'm going to have a wife." So, all right, if we'll turn in our Bibles to Psalm chapter 51. Psalm chapter 51. I'll give everybody a moment to turn there. I'm going to start in verse number 9. I'm going to put my watch on the pulpit just because I know it's only 15 minutes, but I can follow rabbit trails worse than anybody you know. And I can't see the clock very well with these progressive glasses that I'm getting used to in my older dotage, I guess. Psalm 51, verse number 9. "Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O Lord, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings." And then my text verse is 17. "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." I just say a word of prayer. Dear Lord, I ask that you just use me. Lord, I always say, Lord, I feel unworthy to preach your word, Lord. Lord, I just ask that you use me. Let the Holy Spirit take control. Just let your word convict people. We thank you for our many blessings. We thank you for our son. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. God tells us through the prophet Jeremiah in 17:9 that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? In Genesis 8:21, God tells us, "For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth." What is this heart? It's not just the four chambers and four valves we have in our chest that's beating along. Everyone in the room right now has a beating heart, I hope. It's pumping blood, but it's not that heart the Bible's talking about. And there's more to it. It seems to be the place of our hidden emotional, intellectual, and moral activity combined. It's that place where when you're not like studying math or something like that, when you're studying God's word, there's this thing that takes place, and it's not so much in your head as it is in your heart. There's a place there where we think, where we live. We could spend another hour and a half on what God's word tells us about our heart, and let's just say our hearts are dangerous. Thank God when we accept Christ, we are given, besides the gift of eternal salvation, the Holy Spirit to reside within us, to give us opposition to our hearts. God tells us we are a new man, but unfortunately, we are dragging around the old flesh for this present time. Let us focus on the contrite heart. David is the writer of Psalm 51. He's grieving for his sin. He is likened to Jonah in the belly of the whale, so to speak. He's had Uriah the Hittite killed by sending him in the battle to cover his sin with Uriah's wife, Bathsheba. He was grieved over it, and grieved because he knows his sin action was wrong and has resulted in broken fellowship with God. What an absolutely awful place to be. I've been there. I've been in that place where you realize you've made some horrible decisions based on self and completely aware how wrong you are, and that horrible feeling of broken fellowship with God. Really, any of us who are saved should have been there when we asked Christ into our hearts to save us of our sins and to forgive us. I think, however, it's even worse for David because he has known the joy of fellowship with God, the Alpha and the Omega, the creator of the universe, and the source from which all David's blessings have flowed. But he sinned anyway. Let's look at another contrite heart. I'm going to turn to Judges chapter 16. You don't have to turn there. I'll just read from my Bible. But in Judges chapter 16, verse 27, "Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. And there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me. I pray thee only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand and of the other with his left. And Samson said, Let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life." And that's not a small number. I think it was 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey he killed. And he killed more than that. But his heart was broken at that time. He knew he had gone the way of the world. Today's society is about what makes you happy. It's everywhere. Selfies, you should drive this car, wear this brand, you're not cool if you don't drink this or eat that or not eat that. You can decide against nature itself. To act like a man if you're a woman, or act like a woman if you're a man, or any other number of rebellious anti-God behaviors. Anti-God behavior isn't anything new. We're all proof. We're all sinners who were born into sin because one of us decided to believe Satan's lie. Psalm 51 is the opposite of self. It is acknowledging the Lord after the believer has been abandoned to self, acknowledging one's sins before God and asking for forgiveness. When I started this sermon, I've been thinking about this since preacher had asked, and this verse has just been on my mind for a while. I started thinking about our teenagers, because I started thinking about Samson. Samson was brought up in a godly home. His parents wanted something godly for him. He wearied them by going after the world. He wearied them by going after things that he had no business going after. But young person, you don't have to find out that the Bible is right about sin. You don't have to be in the situation David's in. You have free will. You get to decide. The prodigal son, right before he came to himself, was no further away from God than he was when he decided to take his birthright and do as he pleased. That first thought in his heart of, I wonder, or does God really mean this, or what is the big deal? When once he gave place to that thought, he was on his way. Every sin is the same way. Once someone started to consider the possibility of exercising their free will to satisfy self in a way contrary to God's word, they were in trouble. Ask Eve, Adam, Lot, Jonah, Moses, King Saul, David, the children of Israel, Peter, Ananias, and Sapphira. The list goes on. The prodigal could have arrested himself. David could have fell on his knees on that porch. Samson could have kept himself from where he went. We must constantly guard our hearts. So how do we keep it from happening to us? We have already seen great men of God fall into temptation, fall to the wickedness of the human heart. We need to carry a contrite heart with us daily. Wake up daily and make your heart contrite. We should train ourselves to have a contrite heart and a broken spirit the moment we consider sin. We need to listen. The Holy Spirit is talking. The Holy Spirit is screaming. Surely we will make mistakes, but hopefully we can keep ourselves from ending in the pig pen. Like Joseph fled from Potiphar's wife, run away from the thought of sin. Leave it holding your coat. Run to Scripture. Our Lord Jesus Christ, who is our example in all things, was tempted in the wilderness by Satan himself. He showed us how to respond with God's word. When Satan tempted him, he responded with Scripture. With no question, it was a statement. Respond to temptation with Scripture. Christian teenager, the world, Satan wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy all of us. We are in a battle, no more, no less. There is no let up, there is no quarter, there is no reprieve until Jesus comes back. I never thought that I would see a Sunday school student, a child of a faithful Christian woman, I never thought I would see that that Sunday school student, that teenager at one of my homeless services, life already scarred by sin, not even barely into his 20s. A Christian school student, somebody that sat in my Sunday school class. He has eventually made it back to church, but his life is scarred. It didn't have to be that way. Teenager, it doesn't have to be that way with you. But the Holy Spirit brought something to me this weekend, something I must mention. And it just happened that the Holy Spirit brought it to my attention on Friday. My daughter had 11 teenage girls spend the night at our house on Friday night. I hid in my room. And they were up to like 4:30 or 5 o'clock in the morning. There was a lot of noise downstairs, and I found out later on what it was, but Rachel was teaching them to sound like a marching band at our with some solo cups at our kitchen table. And actually upstairs I was like, that sounds pretty good. And but my wife rushed into the bedroom, and she was just happy, and she's like, these girls are so awesome, they're sweet-spirited, they're polite, they're thankful, they're a joy to be around. That didn't happen by accident. Parents who are yielded to the Holy Spirit, who are in a church yielded to the Holy Spirit, are able to allow God to produce such results. I remember my first few services here at Wooden Valley. You really can tell the difference between a service where the Holy Spirit is, where God is, and where He isn't. What an incredible church we have. Thank you, God, for such a church. We are blessed beyond measure. Everything we would do or we do or would do for Jesus depends upon our yieldedness to Him. How we get there, how we make that right, how we yield our flesh day in and day out is to choose Him over ourselves, to have our spirit broken for Him, to have a contrite heart for Him. We are free from the bondage of sin. Eternally, we will be with Him forever. In this short present time, we must deal with a flawed heart so that we can serve our Lord best as He would see fit to reach a lost and dying world. Jesus is our example again. Jesus was contrite for our sin, not His own. He asked His Father to forgive us for what He did to Him. As He walked up Calvary to the cross, He willingly took our sins on Him as He was humiliated. Certainly His spirit must have been broken. When God looked away from Him on the cross and Jesus experienced broken fellowship from His own Father for us, Jesus died on the cross to fix our sins, to restore our broken fellowship as a race with God. It's settled. It's done. Death, sin, and Satan have already been defeated. Christian, if you've begun to consider something tonight that you know you ought not, I beg you to deal with it. Maybe you've gone further than that. I beg you to confess it to the Lord and ask for forgiveness. Jesus will forgive you. 1 John tells us He is faithful and just to forgive us and that we have an advocate through Jesus. Maybe you have no issues tonight and are yielded as can be. I ask you to take heed to continue on remembering your frame is weak without Christ and continue on. Lastly, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, never gone to Christ to repent, don't delay. To not do so will have eternal consequences. You'll have eternity to think about. You had the chance to ask Christ in your heart. If you're here and you're not saved, you can harden your heart against it. I think of somebody I witnessed to. I'm a nurse. I witnessed to somebody in the hospital, and he was going to die, and I think about this often. He was close to death. I mean, when somebody's close to death, you know it. He knew it. He was breathing like 30 or 40 times a minute. He could not catch his breath. There was nothing we could do with him. He had cancer. He was going to be dead within the next 12 hours. Another nurse that I worked with, who was a Christian, said, well, we should witness to him. We should tonight. So we went in, and I tried to witness to him. He did not accept Christ. He would not accept Christ. He didn't want to hear about it. His heart was hardened. Our human heart, we can do one or two things with it. We can yield it to God, or we can harden it to our own detriment. We just need to consider that every day. Thank you. Thank you.